This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President, simplifying a complex money world with investment programs to match a range of investment goals and life situations. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. It is May 26, 2017. I do appreciate being with me. Above average investing for the average investor is what we talk about. I like to think of our of this discussion with you as kind of a no-nonsense guide to buying and selling stocks. What moves stock prices? What do you need to know about economics? And can you keep it simple? And that's kind of what we discussed. That's kind of what I'd like to point the show, the direction of the show in. So it's always that purpose in mind to make you more educated and share ideas and try to get you to be a better investor. That's it. And of course, I want you to use my services, but you still can do it yourself, and that is the focus of the show. And we're going to talk about different things as we do every day. A big plus with mutual funds is diversification. Hybrid funds are a model of diversity. What should you know about hybrid mutual funds? That's going to be one of our talking points today. There are more investing opportunities than ever. It's challenging to compare the true value or appropriateness for you. For example, comparing real estate versus stocks, bonds versus stocks and real estate. These are all good asset classes, and they all have their advantages and disadvantages. And real estate versus stocks especially, you know, you can make money in both. You really can. But next Wednesday, you're going to have an opportunity to explore residential real estate investing. As Investopedia.com points out, real estate is something that you can physically touch and feel. It's a tangible good, and therefore, for many investors, feels more real than like the stock market. For many decades, investment has generated consistent wealth and long-term appreciation for millions of people. So real estate's a great investment. Even though it's not what we do here, I still think it's smart. So, of course, everything depends on location in real estate. Your location is key. You know, how much return, if any, you're going to get. Location, location, location. That's all it's all about. Now, in the United States, according to the latest index for 2016, the area of real estate with the best returns in the U.S. is Dallas, Texas last year. Investors saw 20% returns, unleveraged returns. While your returns may not be Texas big, investing in real estate can be very lucrative. I've did it for years and years and years. But, you know, you got to be careful. There's mistakes to be made that you got to watch out for. And sometimes real estate is not liquid, one of the big downfalls. Therefore, if you make a mistake, it is very difficult to get out of it. I should know, I made a couple of those mistakes in my career. So, real estate investing. The basics of real estate investing is coming up next Wednesday, May 31st from 6:30 to 7:30, and a webinar we'll have it, 6:30 to 7:30. This one is perfect for the hands-on investor who is interested in getting their feet wet in residential real estate investing. So join Justin Klein and licensed real estate agent investor Chevy Atkinson. This is a chance to see how professionals do it. Not us at Klein Pivas Pizzi, but we don't do it. But we are bringing on a guest host who is an expert in this area. Okay, how to succeed with long-term rentals. Pros and cons of vacation term rentals. Analyzing current market opportunities. It's all free. Free to sign up. Just go to investtalk.com. Attendance is limited, as it usually is on these webinars. So it's smart to sign up soon. You can do that at investtalk.com, as I said. Just go to the Invest Talk tab, then Wealth Webinar. Do you have any questions about real estate investing today? Well, I'd love to hear from you. Let's talk about it. Our listener line is 888-99-CHART. That's our anytime number. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, so therefore we're live right now, Monday through Friday. So let's take this question from Steve. How you doing, Steve?
Hey, Steve. How's it going? Love your show.
Thank you.
Got a quick, interesting question. I think that cryptocurrencies may be the future, and I've been looking up on the Bitcoin, and I know that it's becoming it's at a high right now, like around 2,000 or so. And I was trying to see if there was any way I could invest in it. Curious what you think about the stock ticker GBTC. It's a Bitcoin Investment Trust, and it's been going up, up, and up, and up, and up. And I'm really excited about it. Wondering what you think about it long.
Well, we talked about this yesterday. Someone called in about it yesterday. And GBTC is an exchange-traded note seeking performance corresponding to the Bitcoin market price. So it tracks, if you want to invest in the electronic currency, Bitcoin, this is how you could do it. Now, Steve, as I said yesterday, it's going to be a very volatile ride. It's, you know, it was down, what, 15% today. Well, that's nothing. It's been up 400% in, what, 2 months? Yeah, so that's nothing, 15%. Therefore, Steve, are you prepared for that kind of ride? That's really where the question is.
I don't know if I am, actually.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's if you are, this is how you invest it. But if you want to know when to get in, I wouldn't get in now. It's gone up too fast and too short of a time. It will give back a lot of that before it starts up again. I just don't know.
Okay.
I just don't know when and how much, but it will. Okay, Steve?
Thanks, Steve.
Appreciate the call. Well, you should know about hybrid mutual funds. That's one of our talking points today. Also, I'm going to talk about Bill Gates and Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg gave a commencement speech at Harvard today. And, you know, these two guys warned about jobs of the future. I want to talk about that. U.S. has half of the world's value. Half. Good, bad, and different? Let's talk about that. And the Durable Goods Report came out. I like this report. It's one of the reports I kind of focus on every month. It kind of gives me a better insight. For me, I like it because I read it pretty thoroughly, and it gives me an insight of what's really going on in the economy. It does not necessarily help you to know what's going on in the stock market, but learning how the economy moves helps me decide, or at least gives me hints, about the next recession and how far away it is. And I use Durable Goods Report to help me do that. So I want to share that with you today because it came out today, the report for April. Those are things I want to talk about. The market was mixed today. I mean, you have to say it was flat, but instead of mixed, because the Dow was down 6, the NASDAQ was up 5, and S&P was up 0.5%, half a point. That's pretty flat. So nothing much, and not to be expected, the day going into a three-day weekend where, you know, Mondays the markets close, and investors don't like to be too active and positive on Friday before any three-day weekend. They usually are not. Usually kind of on the negative side. They want to be out of the market, not necessarily in it. The traders do, at least. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Let's bring you up to date on my schedule, a retirement checkup schedule. I will be in San Jose on June 14th. Our home office at Data Point on June 15th, and then back to San Jose on July 18th. So I try to make myself available a lot in the Bay Area because that's where this radio show is broadcasted. I can only meet you with a few of our listeners each month to set aside your time on June 14th. In San Jose, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. 888-99-CHARTER is our live listener line number every weekday from 4 to 5 Pacific time.
Hey, guys. I'm looking at Procter & Gamble, wanting to add it for a long-term core holding. Looks like it pays about 3.25% on the dividend, and it's had a small dip lately. Wondering if you think this is a good time to get in it, or let me throw something else at you. Would Johnson & Johnson be a better move? Listen for your podcast. Thanks.
Two very blue-chippy kind of stocks. Very, very blue chips of the blue chip. Procter & Gamble has a value of $223 billion, so that tells you how strong and big they are. And Johnson & Johnson has $341 billion, so they're even stronger and bigger. So, yeah, they're very, very blue chippy. looking to look at Procter & Gamble, don't expect great growth from either one. Not going to happen. So you really want to buy these on sale. You really do. And this is an $87 stock with earnings of next year of $4.11. Okay, that's a 20-ish P.E., right? 21, 22 P.E. And the five-year range is 16 to 25. So it's kind of high. Even though it's dipped recently from 91 down to, you know, 86, and now it's 87. And if you look at a chart, you'll say, oh, it went right down to the 200-day moving average, found support, and bounced up. And it, on a chart, we'll say, well, that's probably a good, solid place to buy it right now on a chart. But on a valuation basis, it's still expensive. It will get cheap someday, but it's expensive right now, and it does pay that dividend. Johnson & Johnson pays a dividend, too. Nice dividend, 2.6%. But its P.E. range is 13 to 19, and its P.E. based on next year's earnings is about 18. So it's not much cheaper. It's at the high of its range as well. So looking at a chart for Johnson & Johnson, you remember now P&G has looks like a pretty good place to buy it, like it's bouncing off support. Johnson & Johnson, however, is double topping now, meaning there's going to be resistance, overhead resistance. It's about right, $127 is where it was back in March. Fell down to about 120, 121. Now it's back up to 127. So it's at a high resistance level. So I would not, it would not be a buy on the chart necessarily at this point. Both of them are good, solid companies you can have in your portfolio. They both are. Let's go to Abraham, San Francisco. How you doing, Abraham?
Hey, how about you, Steve?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I like your show. I have a question about the stock I'm interested in. It's AMD, Advanced Micro Devices.
Okay, AMD.
In fact, for the last year, it has been growing, then went up to high 15. Now it's down to 11 today, close at 11. So just I need to advise
okay. that. Okay, my Advanced Micro Devices is right at 11, as you said. It fell to a little bit, almost like $10, and that is its $10.17 is the 200-day moving average, and it seems to be finding support there. So there, and today it's 11. It bounced off that 200-day moving average. It designs microprocessors embedded in media graphics processors, chipsets for computers. And the reason why it's $11 is because it hasn't made money in the last couple of years. This year it's going to make $0.07 a share. Next year it's going to make $0.30 a share. So that means it's about 30, 35 PE. So it's kind of expensive. It's kind of expensive. But sales growth is accelerating fast, and that's why it's moved up all last year. You know, moved up most of last year, I should say. And that's why, because everybody sees the sell growth finally turning around, and they're finally going to make some money. But it's a pretty risky play still, because there's lots of debt. So it wouldn't be for me, because it's not. It's still expensive. It's just not attracting me. Okay?
Appreciate it. Thank you so much, Steve.
Thanks, Abraham. Appreciate that. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. 888-99 Charter is our number. You can reach us right now. We're live 45 Pacific Time, open to any money questions you might have.
Here's another benefit when you sign up for our Invest Talk Insider program, a brief list of real estate investment trusts, REITs, that should be on investors' radar if they're looking for exposure to this dividend-focused sector. You can sign up for this free Invest Talk Insider program on investtalk.com.
Okay, what are hybrid mutual funds? What are they? Anytime you ever hear the word hybrid fund, okay, it sounds really fancy and stuff, but it's not. All it is a balanced fund. It's another word for what's called a balanced fund. Balanced funds, a hybrid balanced fund, all that means is it has different asset classes. For instance, the most common balanced fund you hear about is stocks and bonds. A percentage of stocks and a percentage of bonds held in the balanced fund. A hybrid, you know, can be, it's exactly the same, but may not have bonds. Maybe they have big cap stocks and small cap stocks. Maybe growth stocks versus and value stocks. What the type of hybrid fund it is, you're going to have to read the prospectus and find out. Now, I'll give you an example of a hybrid fund that everybody's pretty much familiar with who have 401ks, and that's those target dated funds. Those are hybrids. They're hybrid funds because they change their asset class as you get closer to the target date of your retirement, whatever date you picked on that target dated fund, 2040, 2050, 2020, whatever it was. So whenever you hear hybrid, in your mind, think balanced. But you need to know what balance of what. What are they balancing? What are they doing? And, you know, in truth, you need to know that about any mutual fund you invest in. Why all of a sudden you're seeing the word hybrid funds versus balanced fund? I have a feeling it has everything to do with marketing. That's it. Everything to do with marketing. Just another way for a mutual fund industry to try to get you to buy their funds. I don't have a problem with that. But I do have a problem if they're trying to do things to make it more confusing for the investor, you. You don't need to make it more confusing. It's already confusing with ETFs and ETNs and closed-end funds, open-end funds, mutual funds, you know, every kind of fund, thousands of them out there. And it's confusing to make it more difficult for the average person to know what he's supposed to be doing. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's get back to answering our 24-hour listener line callers. Love to do that. Same number, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve or Dustin. My name is Ken. I'm calling from Wisconsin. I listen to my podcast. Love your show. I had a question. I was wondering your opinion on Palo Alto Networks, PANW. They report coming up on Wednesday, and I have a account that I like to trade actively for. It's kind of a fun money account. So late in the earnings season, I try to get on stocks I think might have a pop with some of these big hedge funds looking to put some money into any possible borderline winners right at the end of the trading and earnings season. So anyways, I was wondering what your take was on Palo Alto Networks, if they were anything worth taking a gamble on here with a small, like I said, it's a speculative play account, so it's not any long-term holdings. All right, thanks for your opinion. Bye.
Okay, so he's looking for a pop. He's looking for a trade is what he's doing, not a long-term investment. Two very different things, a trade versus an investment. Palo Alto Networks provides network security infrastructure products for enterprises, service providers, and government entities. It is a almost $11 billion company. It's growing sales 26% last quarter, 34% the quarter before that, 41% before that, 48% before that. So sales growth is going down, but still very strong. They're going to make $3.19 a share next year, and it's a $118 stock. So that's telling you it's a 35 PE or so, whatever that number is. That's pretty high. So you're looking for the pop. You should not really pay attention to the PE necessarily. You're looking for the momentum on the upside. Is it going to have some momentum on the upside? Well, it has a possibility because it's really good to return on equity, 27%. Sales growth is very high. Mutual funds kind of like that. Management owns 5%. The mutual funds own about 47% of the shares outstanding. So it does have a possibility of a pop up because it fell sharply. Has been for 3 months, almost 4 months, making a bottom. And it looks like it's coming off that bottom. So this would be a good possibility. $118 is what it is now. You can buy it here and hope to have at least go back up to $130 to $140. May go back to $150, $155. That's possible. The highest it's been in a year is $162. So you're at the low of a range that it has been, and this is where you would buy it. Now, also put a stop in because it's overvalued. And that stop should be about $109. Okay? Good call. Thank you for the good. PANW. PANW. Palo Alto Networks is the name. Again, remember, his was a trade, not a long-term investment. He's looking for a trade. Okay, and that's a different way to look at things when you're just doing a trade versus a long-term core holding. Remember we talked about Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble. So those are long-term core holding that the caller was asking about. This is just a trade. This one. Okay? Be sure to sign up for our Invest Talk Insiders program. It's a source of good information. Usually is. Always try to get you more and more information. Up-to-date financial news and insight and a whole library of timely info sheets and recorded webinars. It's free. Just click on the Invest Talk tab on Invest Talk.
Our Invest Talk podcast continues next. But first, a couple of words about our webinar coming up May 31st. Licensed real estate agent and investor Chevy Akerson joins Invest Talk's own financial advisor and licensed realtor Justin Klein for 1 hour about real estate. And they'll show you the things you need to know to be successful, the basics of residential real estate investing. It's a free live webinar, May 31st, 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific time, with plenty of time for your questions too. Learn about the tools and strategies the professionals use. Gain insights to help you reduce risk and maximize your invested dollar. Whether you're just getting started or currently own rental properties, this webinar will shed light on how professionals look at investing in real estate. The Basics of Residential Real Estate Investing, a free live webinar, May 31st, 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific Time. All you do is register. Just go to investtalk.com. That's InvestTalk with two T's. InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. Now let's continue with the podcast. InvestTalk continues on a service of KPP Financial for more than 20 years, helping Americans plan their retirement years with confidence. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us with your money question right now.
888-992-4278. What do you want to talk about? What's on your mind? How about if we talk about Bill Gates and Zuckerberg's commencement speech? Zuckerberg spoke at Harvard, and they both talked about the same subject, jobs. They warn graduating classes about jobs. Okay. About how technology is changing and how, you know, the job is going to be harder and harder to find because, you know, artificial intelligence, self-driving cars. You know, this story is the same story. Think about the Harvard graduating class of 1900. You could talk about the exact same thing. Jobs. There's going to be a dearth of jobs. The buggy whip makers are going to be gone. The wagon wheel makers, the wood companies that make the wagons, the timber industry is going to get ruined because of cars. See, the same speech could be made every generation. The trick is for you as a graduating class is to make sure you identify what the growing industry is, and you apply yourself to that industry. You go to school, you get a degree in the industry that is coming about, and not the industry that has been, not the old industry, the new industry. And again, this is Creative Destruction, a book that I like a lot. So that's all. I listened to the speeches and I said, you know what? What's the point of you talking about it like this? I mean, you should be. I don't know. It just to me, you're being negative for absolutely no reason. Because every graduating class is going to be the same. They're all looking for jobs. And every year, more industries and more companies get destroyed. But look at the new IPOs, initial public offerings, for new companies all the time. See, so there's always new jobs that are replacing the old jobs. You, young person that you are, just better make sure you're in an industry that is of the future, not the past. That's all. Don't become a truck driver. That would be foolish. okay? Because, you know, there are going to be self-driving trucks. We're here for you, beginner experienced investor, 888-99-CHART. That's our anytime number.
Hey, Steve. Hey, Justin. Podcast listener from Orlando, Florida. Huge fan of the show. Had a question about Tiffany, ticker symbol TIF. She took a little bit of a beating this past week, and I was wondering if you think now might be a time to buy. I know the retail space is a little shaky right now, but Tiffany seems to be a little bit different given their status. I'm just wondering if it's a good time to pick it up here or if we wait a little bit longer. Huge fan of the show and hope to hear on the podcast. Thanks.
Okay, Tiffany & Company is TIF, headquartered in New York, operates 307 jewelry stores worldwide, operates e-commerce. As you know, this is a high-end fashion, high-end jewelry store, and it's kind of non-cyclical. It doesn't necessarily sales increase or decrease based on the economic cycle. It has had a little headwind as far as sales, and it's a $10 billion company. But sales growth is only about 1%, so you're not going to get a lot of growth out of this company. They're going to make $4.30 next year, which is a nice, 10% pop, 8, 9, 10% increase. Pays a 2.1% dividend. The pullback that it had from 92 to 86, to me, is really not much. Nothing there to talk about. It's going to make $4.30, and it's an $86 stock, so it's a 20 PE. The range of the P is 15 to 27. So it's, kind of right in the middle. A good return on equity. It's a good, solid company. I just don't think the pullback is deep enough to be a good opportunity to get into the stock. I just don't think it is. And it fell sharply, and probably was earnings one day, and that was 3 days ago. And I just don't think that's deep enough yet. I think you need to wait for a bigger one. Tiffany, TIF. Let's give you a taste of the topics that will be coming up during the live webinar next Wednesday, May 31st. It's May 31st, 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific time. Okay? Justin and real estate investor Chevy Chase will cover a range of topics like this one.
For most people, their home is a very significant part of their assets and maybe even their retirement assets.
We've talked a lot about this in the past, Justin. And, what a lot of people forget about is the opportunity cost, right? So a lot of people that have owned properties for a long time have way more house than they really need. And so what I'm finding is a lot of times they have all that equity tied up in their property when they really need maybe a quarter or half of the house that they have. And they're forgetting about the opportunity cost of that money that's kind of locked in their property, right? So as you know, a house can be an asset, but it also can be a liability. So if, say, you have $1 million house when you only need a $500,000 house, if you can take $500,000 out by selling it and downsizing it, a lot of times you're going to make a lot better return with that $500,000 than just having it locked in your property.
Take that equity out and earn a good, decent return on that, hopefully in a conservative manner, but you can earn a decent return, and that suddenly becomes a home that is, or a piece of asset that somebody has that now is dual purpose, right? It can produce income and produce a place for you to live.
Real estate can produce income, and besides give you a place to live, and it can appreciate you. Again, it's all about location. So if you can, get together with Justin and Chevy next Wednesday, the basic of real estate residential investing. It's free. All you have to do is sign up at investtalk.com. And you can do that, again, investtalk.com. Just look for the Invest Talk tab, then Wealth Webinar.
Are you an InvestTalk insider? If you like a quick and easy look at top financial stories plus helpful information from brand name providers, why not sign up? Here are some of the stories on the InvestTalk Insider Information Carousel today. The Path to Setting Financial Goals for Your Future from Investopedia.com. 5 Tips for Raising a Kid Who Can Manage Their Money from Parent.com. And how much money do you need to retire early and live happily? 10 reasons it's less than you think. That's from Inc. magazine. The InvestTalk Insider is a free membership service of KPP Financial. Sign up now on investtalk.com.
Hey, this is John. I'm a podcast listener from Jacksonville, Florida. I was curious about your thoughts on why for a long-term hold. I appreciate it. Look forward to hearing you on the show.
Okay, why? It's called a yield shares high income. Exchange traded funds seeking performance corresponding to the ISE High Income Index. So how do they achieve high income? That's my first question, because they're certainly not telling us here on this little screen I'm reading. How do they achieve that high income? They're paying a dividend of 9.2%. It's costing $19.57 a share. It was $17 not that long ago, 6 months ago. It's now $19. They're saying it pays 9.2% dividend yield. Therefore, it has to be taking a lot of risk to get 9.2% dividend yield. So what is the ISE High Income Index? What do they do? Do they use options? I can tell you they don't buy stocks and own the stocks for the dividends, because no dividends are paid that high, 9.2%. You might think, well, maybe it's master limited partnerships. They can tend to pay higher, but you know, they've been ranging between 5% and 7% recently, in recent times. So I have a feeling they have to maybe do it with options or something a little bit more exotic. So what does the high income index do? And if you kind of have to understand that, because then you'll know if it's sustainable or not. And I can't answer that question with just the information I have at my fingertips here. YYY is the symbol. Yield shares high income. 888-99-TART. Do you know that U.S. has half of the world's income? This is according to Jeremy Siegel. And Jeremy Siegel is the professor of Wharton School of Business. And if you remember right, Jeremy Siegel is the one that came up with the cap ratio. Cap ratio. Okay, that's the P-E ratio, C-A-P-E. That's the P-E ratio using the 10-year average earnings. So you get a cap P-E ratio going forward. Now, he was upbeat saying, you know, the U.S. has half the world's value. So half the income, equity value in the world is here in the United States. Doesn't really surprise me, to be honest. It really doesn't. What does surprise me is that he's so upbeat about it, because he kind of leave off a pretty big opposing statistic. If the U.S., if you're going to talk about the U.S. having half the world's value, then you might want to determine, well, how much of the world's debt, government debt, does the U.S. have? Well, U.S. government debt is at $19 trillion, and that's two-thirds of the world's government debt. Okay, so you remember, think about yourself. You know, I like to relate this just to everyday people. You have debt. Okay, if you make $100,000 and you have $100,000 in debt, okay, is that meaningful to you? Okay, so let's say you have, you know, your net value is $1 million, but you have three quarters or $750,000 in debt. Well, you still have a value of $1 million. None of these numbers really have meaning to you or to me or even to us when they talk about the U.S. government having, I mean, the U.S. having half the world value and $19 trillion debt. In and of itself, it's meaningless. What's important is can we pay the debt? Is that debt going to cost us more in the future? Are we increasing that debt? Are we decreasing that debt? Is the money we used, did we use that money, debt, wisely? Are we using our equity, our value, and our assets wisely? Those are the things that are important. Not just the numbers. The numbers don't help. They don't tell you anything. Now, a lot of people will say, well, wait a minute. Whoa, we have $19 trillion in debt. That's bad. Well, our economy is $19 trillion. Think about you. You have income, right? So does our economy. Can the economy pay that debt over time? At what point do you say it's too much? See, that's the kind of questions and answers that you really want, okay? And yeah, I think $19 trillion is probably too much debt, and we can pay for it. That's not an issue. But why should we pay that much for debt? We don't need to. Here's an investing term you should know. What is an ex-dividend? What is an ex-dividend? Ex-dividend. Ex-dividend is a classification of trading shares when a declared dividend belongs to the seller rather than the buyer. A stock will be given ex-dividend status if a person has been confirmed by the company to receive the dividend payment. Okay. A stock trades ex-dividend on or after the ex-dividend date. That's the date they pay. At this point, the person who owns the security on the ex-dividend date will be awarded the payment of the dividend, regardless of who currently holds the stock. So it doesn't matter. It's only the ex-dividend date. You own it on that date, you get the dividend. Okay? Ex-dividend. That's the date that's important if you're looking for dividends. To see more in-depth definition and example, just go to our friends at investopedia.com. Let's get back to our 24-hour listen line, 888-99-CHART.
Hi. Actually, my question was regarding Netflix. I wanted to invest in the stock, and I was wondering what your thoughts are on its technicals. Thank you.
On its technicals. Remember, everybody, when someone asks me about technicals, I'm looking at a chart. Okay? Fundamentals is looking at the earnings and growth of earnings and debt and sales and all that stuff. Okay? Technicals, it's in an upward trend. It's been in an upward trend for a year, and it still looks like it's in that solid trend line. So technically, it's still in that trend line, and you know whether you want to buy it and take the chances it'll stay there, or you wait for corrections, up to you. Fundamentally, we're talking about Netflix, NFLX. NFLX is the symbol. They're growing 30 to 35% sales every quarter. They're a $70 billion company. It's a $162 stock, and they're going to make $1.91 a share. It's way overvalued. Way overvalued. Okay, so what, 80, 90 PE? Way overvalued. But they've been way overvalued and still go up. So no one, you know, just because it's overvalued doesn't mean you don't want to own it. The when this gets hit, it will be because of the sales growth slowing down. That's when it will get hit, and that's what you worry about it. But it's in the trend line, solid trend line, and, you know, you can buy here and stay in the trend. Hopefully the trend continues. Just never know. Listen to Invest Talk. We'd love to hear from you before the hour's up. 888-99-CHART is how to get through. You can do it anytime you want.
Hi, guys. Dan from Maryland. Quick question for you. Thanks again for the show. I love it. I keep learning a lot. Can you help me understand how I should think about convertible notes, stock I own, the issued convertible notes, and I'm okay with, I guess, why they're doing it, but how should I take that as opposed to other types of debt and really just kind of understanding the concept and why a company does that? Thanks for any insight. I appreciate it.
Okay, convertible note think of a note like a bond where you buy the note and they give you the note and it can be converted into a stock. Okay, so they're getting the money there, meaning the company, the note money that you're paying, and converts into a stock at a certain price. A stock at a certain price. And that's why you're buying it. You're hoping the stock would go up, and then your note at a certain price, you make some money on it because it went up. And some notes pay, many notes pay a yield, pay like a dividend, but it's called a yield, like a bond yield. And it's a matter, the why companies issue bonds or convertible notes or borrow money, they need the money for something. You as an investor should say, well, what do you need it for? What are you going to use this money for? Why are you producing money? Why can't you use the money that you make as you sell products? Why do you need additional money? Many times, well, maybe they want to buy a company. Maybe they want to build a factory. Maybe they want to expand and need to buy inventory. You know, it could be for anything. So your job is to make sure you understand what they're using the money for. You can, as an investor, you can invest a note, but remember, the note is only as good as this company, you know, that you're buying it from. You're listening to Invest Talk. We'd love to hear from you before the hour's up. 888-99-CHARGE, how to get through. You can do it anytime you want. Durable goods report came out for April today. 5-month low. It shrank 0.7%. Remember, durable goods are those items that you and I and companies buy that last 3 years or longer. So expensive items. Why is that important? Because when you are willing to part with money for expensive items, you must feel pretty confident about your income or your business, or else you wouldn't spend the big bucks for something that costs more money. Now, durable goods also includes automobiles and airplanes. And why would we like to know that? Because we like to take them out of that report, because those things are very expensive. Not just expensive, but very expensive. And they influence a durable goods sales report too much. So you want to pull it out and say, okay, well, what if you took out the automobile sales and airplane sales? What then would be the durable goods sales report say? Well, that was also down 0.4%. Remember, the month before, which was March, it was the durable goods report came in at 2.3% growth. Now it's shrank 0.7%. And if you take out autos and airplanes, it shrank 0.4%. There is another way to look at the durable goods sales report. And we call that the core durable goods. Okay, and that is a look at what the what are the companies at the basic level doing? Are they spending money, the corporations? This is the core durable goods sales. And that was flat for the second month in a row. Okay, think about this. Corporations are not spending more money. Durable goods fell. Expensive items fell. Both, you know, auto and planes, and including auto plane. That's not really a good number. 1 month doesn't mean much, but it's not very good. The speculation is maybe corporations from the core durable goods. Maybe corporations are waiting for Trump to pass maybe the tax cut law before they start spending. Kind of important. Time is up for this session, everybody. We've gone through a week pretty quickly. I thank you for listening and participating. You can reach me directly with a question or comment. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein, everybody at KPP, thanks for being with us today. And I hope you enjoy your long weekend and think about Memorial Day, everybody.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.